What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're reading 2 Samuel 7, 8, and 9, and this is a really important section. I think maybe the most important chapter happens here in chapter 7, because what we see is God making a promise to David. And this promise has a particular name. When theologians and people who study the Bible, they look at this passage, they call it the Davidic Covenant, which means it's one of the promises that God makes to David, and more specifically, it's a promise about David and his descendants that are going to be on the throne, that are going to be the kings of this nation of Israel. So if you check it out, what you might notice is it starts with David wanting to build God a house. It starts with David wanting to build a temple for the Lord. And Nathan, one of the prophets, says, yeah, that's a great idea. But then God warns Nathan, says, that's not a good idea. We don't want David to build a house for me right now. But God turns around and tells David, you might not build a house for me, but I am going to build a house for you. And that's what this promise is all about. God making a promise to David and his family about establishing his kingdom forever. And the reason this is important is you might say, well, there's no king right now reigning from the line of David. And if you thought that, you would have been missing what this really points forward to. It really points forward to Christ, because ultimately Christ is the king that comes from David's family, and he's the one that's going to sit on the throne forever. And he's the one that even right now is ruling and reigning, and he's going to take all that power and reign on the earth soon. So it's interesting that even here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see things that point forward to Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a very important one that points forward to Jesus here. So that's chapter 7. In chapter 8, everything's going well for David. He's winning battles. There's victories for Israel. In chapter 9, David does more good. It says that he finds one of the sons of Jonathan. So this is someone from the house of Saul. So Jonathan had this son, and his name is Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth cannot walk, but David is good to Mephibosheth in that he basically adopts him into his family. He takes care of him, which, if you think about it, that might not make much sense, because David is the king who's replacing Saul. Why would David be good to Saul's family? Well, for a couple reasons. One is because back in 1 Samuel, David made a promise with Jonathan that said he would take care of his children if Jonathan died, and the same thing vice versa. And that's what happens. David is fulfilling his promises. And it's cool to see how when God is faithful to David, David is faithful to God. When God is making promises to David and God is doing good things for David, David is responding with obedience. And things are going really well in today's daily Bible reading. The problem is when David transgresses God's law, and we're going to see that happen tomorrow, then things won't go well for David. But I think the good application is when David is living right in the middle of doing exactly what God wants, things go well for him. Things go well for the whole nation when David does that. It's when David steps aside and does what's wrong, that's when things are going to start to go wrong for the nation. So that's our Old Testament reading today. Let's check out the New Testament. We're looking today at Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. It starts out with the famous section that's about Zacchaeus. If you might remember the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, right? The small guy who was the tax collector. And it says that Zacchaeus, he can't see over the crowd, so that's why we know he's short. He's a small man. But it says he can't see, so he has to climb up into a tree just to see Jesus. But Jesus turns his attention and looks squarely at Zacchaeus, and he says, Zacchaeus, in verse 5, it says, Jesus looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So Jesus points him out and says, I'm going to stay with you today. And he says, okay, because he's really excited about that. But then the people saw this and said, well, Jesus has just gone to be with another sinner again. He must not know who this guy is. And in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and told Jesus, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. Now, what we see here is Zacchaeus as a tax collector basically proving his repentance, basically saying to Jesus, I'm going to do the right thing from now on. I'm going to turn from my sin. And if I messed up in any way, I'm going to give back to the people that I stole from. He's going to give back to these people. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house, since this man is the son of Abraham. And then it goes further, the most important verse in the section, where Jesus talks about himself. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's really what goes on here. Zacchaeus is lost. He's a sinful person who's done a lot of sinful things, but Jesus redeems him. He buys him back here because what he does is he goes and pursues him. He seeks him and he sees him repent. And he has him do these repentant deeds, just like giving his money back to the people that he stole from. This is what repentance looks like. Repentance from sin, turning to God, trusting in Jesus. That's what salvation looks like. So that's why Jesus says salvation has come to this household. And that's a helpful application when we see this. That's what salvation looks like. When we turn from our sins, when we trust in Jesus, that's what salvation is. And he goes on, Jesus tells another story, and this is from verses 11 all the way to 27. We see people thinking that the kingdom of God was going to come upon them all right now. And in this first generation of people, you might think why it makes sense why they would think that, right? Well, because Jesus is here, the king's here, we're going to have the kingdom come right now. Jesus tells this parable to explain to them, it's not coming right now. It's like the kingdom is here, but it's going to be a long time from now until it actually all gets brought in. And he tells this parable of the mina, right? Giving certain people certain amounts of money. Some of them use it for good. Some of them use it for bad. You probably are familiar with this story. But the idea is, the context is, people thought the kingdom was going to happen right now. So basically what Jesus says is, the kingdom's not coming in its fullness right now, but in the meantime, you need to be doing the things that you need to be doing for the kingdom. So that's a helpful encouragement to us, that God has gifted us in many ways, but he wants us to use those things for the future kingdom. Things we can do now that can impact eternity. And I want you to think through, what are some things you could do today that impact eternity? Your relationship with God, growing in your relationship with God, that impacts eternity. The way that you treat other people, that impacts eternity. The way that you share the truth of the gospel with people that you know are not saved, that impacts eternity. I mean, all those things, storing up treasure in heaven for yourself, right? Serving Christ with your whole heart, that impacts eternity. I want you to think through today. I want you to say, I want to live for eternity today. That's what the parable of the 10 minas is all about. And I think that's how Jesus wants us to live today. So thanks for reading with us. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.